Bridget and I hope you enjoy this special episode of Queen's Pitch as we interview Finnish national team player and Charlotte FC starting left back Jari Uronen. He joined the Crown last summer in August of 2023 and played 9 matches for us in that year. And since then, you know, he had shored up our defense. And so this year we have a much better defense with him in the squad. We hope you enjoy getting to know him as much as we did.
Welcome, Jari. We are on Queen's Pitch. It's lovely to have you.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
So not everyone might have read your recent interview that's out right now with Sam Spencer for the Queen City Nerve, but can you share, for those who haven't read it, just a little bit about your soccer journey and then how you came to play for Charlotte FC?
I'm getting up to age, so I've been doing this thing for quite a few years now. I think my first professional year was 2012. Didn't make my professional debut 2011 already with my team in Finland. Back then, it was still just a hobby for me, you know, besides going to high school. So then it just had a few good games and started my journey in and around Europe. Quite surprisingly, you know, at least for myself. And I'm still on that road. And, you know, I've gone through a few countries in Europe. I've had a lot of nice experiences there. A lot of not so nice as well, obviously, because that's part of the game. And then we got this opportunity to come to the other side of the big pond and decided to come here and kind of jump into unknown. I do have a lot of friends who play in MLS, so I knew about the league. But, you know, for that, with 2 kids to live in a different continent, it's always kind of difficult to know what to expect. So we decided to, come in a way and being really happy. It's been really nice, at least the first 6 months here.
We're glad you're here. So we enjoyed. I bet the weather is much nicer here anyway.
I talked to my dad. Normally I call my dad in the mornings when I'm driving to the training, because I got around 15-minute drive. So I call him and he's just asking about the weather. So I think it was Wednesday, one of those holidays. He asked me how's the weather, and all. So I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be around 30 Celsius. I think Fahrenheit's 80 something. So yeah, it's gonna be a hot day. What about back there in Finland? And he was like, yeah, it's gonna be at 0. You know, the freezing point. So, and they're still expecting more snow this weekend. So it is a big plus. Not gonna lie.
So how does playing in the MLS differ from the other leagues that you played in, especially the Champions League in those experiences?
It is quite different than any league that I've played, to be honest. I think it's more tactical in Europe, especially in the national team. When you play those games, it's really tactical. A bit faster there as well, but here it's a little bit more open. A lot of individual quality. I have a feeling it does turn into a basketball game every now and then, also, which is probably a lot of fun for the people watching the game, because a lot of things happen. But when you're a player, that it can get quite tough when you have to have those 80-yard sprints back and forth. So it's not that's it. So it's really open, and that gives, you know, at least the defenders a lot more problems and a lot more questions, you know, that you need to solve there. But at the same time, it's a nice challenge. So it is a really fun league, really, really fun league. I've enjoyed it.
And so you came last summer and you kind of had a tough transition coming mid-year into this. We'd already been halfway through the year for us. And so how was it compared to now, I guess, to come into the team?
Yeah, I mean, the team was really, really different when I did come here last year. You know, obviously, different manager always has different tactical ideas and how he wants to play the game. So so in that regard, it was really different last year. So the way we played last year was really demanding of the players. It's something that I wasn't used to either. So it took me a while to get the hang on what the coach wants to do, and that combined with the heat. So I was almost even happy that it took a while for my visa to get accepted, that I had a few days to adjust, because the first trainings were really tough. I was thinking where have I come? You know, I can't breathe in this heat. But yeah, luckily your body gets adjusted really, really quick. And now obviously after the full preseason with the team, you know, you're on the same level with the guys that I've been here longer. So it's a lot more comfortable now. Obviously, the more you spend time with the guys, the closer you get. So yes, it's been fun.
I didn't even think about the transition of you coming from over here, you know, with the heat and everything last year. We're just like expecting y'all to come over here and pick it up and play. And we're like, what's wrong with them? But we don't realize that like that temperature is going to affect you in a big way.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things. And then what was also kind of tough is that you always have those international games, September, October, November. So flying back and forth while you're trying to adjust everything here, it's not really ideal. I felt it in the body, but the good thing is that, you know, when you know that you have only a few months to push through, you're just pushing through it. Then that part of the season, that season is done, and then you can focus on the new one.
And we've read that it was important to you and your family to be happy where you live and play, and that's part of the reason why you came to Charlotte. How has it been for you and your wife, Mintu, and your two small boys to adjust to a new country and a new city? You know, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, but it's been by far the easiest place for us to kind of adjust and move into. I think especially for me and my wife, the language is a big factor. She's also really social, and I can see that she enjoys spending time with American people, because I feel like people here are a lot nicer, kinder, you know, more social at least than in Europe, and especially in Finland. So from that aspect, you know, it's really nice, because you know you can have a conversation with anyone about anything, even if you know them or you don't, and still kind of blows my mind in a good way, you know, here. And and my oldest one knows a little bit of English, so for him it was also nice that he doesn't have to pick up a new language, because he's learned some French in France, he's learned some German in Germany. But when you know a little bit, you know, you can't really get any kind of conversation with anyone. And he loves cars, he loves big cars, so he loves these pickup trucks here, he loves these big trucks, big cars, because yeah, everything is big here. So he told me that when he came here, like after the holiday, he said like, yeah, daddy, I missed you a lot, but I missed America even more. So
you'll have to take him to the monster truck rallies. Have you taken him to one of those yet?
We actually have tickets to the monster jam on Saturday.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, that's his birthday present. So he gets to see monster trucks. So they're kind of
he's going to love that.
Yeah, probably.
He's going to love, welcome to the South. Here we go. Well, Kara, she's a sucker for a love story. And she also met her husband young. So she wants to see if you would expand on your love story with your wife, Mintu, and give us a little bit of backstory behind that.
We were 15. I don't know, just like back home, we have, it's called like a confirmation camp, like a confirmation that ends in this kind of a camp a little bit like outside, where you spend 5 days and you do all kinds of stuff. And then you have like the final party, and then that's it. But I don't know if you have this kind of,
I think we call them like Bible camps or things like that around here.
Yeah,
or
stuff like that with the church. Yeah. So we met there. Normally you go, you know, to the group within the area of the city where you live. But all my friends were living in another part of the town. So my mom asked if I could have an exception and go to the whole confirmation with that other church. And they said it's fine. And she was there. That's when we met. And then, yeah, after the camp, we kind of started dating almost directly. And here we are 15 years later. So, yeah, it happened kind of fast. I think we were dating few weeks after we really got to know each other. So, yeah.
Y'all been together a long time. That's awesome. Y'all are a true love story. She's known you since you've grown up. She's went through all the awkward stages with you then.
Yeah.
And she still loves you, so that's good.
Yeah. I don't know. Something must be wrong with her.
No.
I'm going to have to go tell my husband that, because something must be wrong with me too. So in our opinion, you know, support might come from the fans, but we really know it's important at home. So what would you say about your wife's support for you, especially through all these transitions?
It's like, I've gone through everything with her, but I still can't really understand how tough it must be, even though I've seen it with my own eyes, you know. the thing is, like, when you move as a player from a country to another one, you know, you get there, but then the same day that you land or you arrive to the new city, you are working directly, and you might have an away game the next day, and then you're gone for 2 days. But she's the one who then stays in the hotel with the kids, especially when our baby was, like, I think he was, well, 4 months, when 5 months when we moved from France to Germany. So, you know, with the baby like that, the live in the hotel, be there alone, find the right house that you like for the kids and for us, organize the move, I would say decorate the arm and, you know, get the right things there. It's just so many things that I really don't know how to do. So that's all on her, on top of raising the kids and taking care of them. I mean, obviously I'll do my best at home, and but dads are not that good at, you know, raising them. I'm good at playing with them and getting the energy out of them and cooking food for them and putting them to bed, but I'm not good at, you know, the important stuff. So it's the same thing with every single, I would love to say football wife, but basically doesn't matter the sport, it's the same thing, you know, for the athletes. You move and you go straight to work, and then basically everything else is for the wives and for the women. So it's just incredible how well one person can handle all of that and make it look easy, because my mind would just flow from all that information. So yeah, it means everything. And because of that, you as an athlete, you can focus on the most important thing, because everyone knows that the first weeks are the most important to integrate, to start on the right foot. Because if you start bad, then it's more difficult to pick up, you know, and then your confidence goes down, and then you lose your quality. So all those things, they matter more than people think they do.
Okay, I'm gonna jump around. We're gonna start asking you some fun kind of questions. Okay, it's taking everything I can not to have asked you this from the time we got on here. So what are your game day rituals?
Not much. I try to take a nap, because I never nap except game day. So maybe I'll say a nap.
Okay, now here it is. This is the thing. So do you have a reason that you always wear the pink shoes? Because I am in love with that.
No, I do love them as well. But I should change them already, because the new color came and it's orange now, but they don't feel as good. It's just whatever the newest color that they send me, I should play with them, but I've kind of stuck with the pinks because I like the color of them a lot, but I might have to change them soon, unfortunately.
So there's not a big reason behind it. See, I thought you did it so you'd stand out and we could see you running around on the field and...
Ah.
Okay. Well, dang it.
Bridget has a thing for shoes.
You ruined my whole dream. What are some of your favorite things about Charlotte?
Well, we spoke about the weather, that, and I know people don't think here that Charlotte is a big city. For me, it's massive. For me, it's really a big, big city, which means that you have so much to do, so many things to see. And we haven't really even been to places around Charlotte, that we've just been in the city center and, like, close by. But yeah, there's so many parks, so many playgrounds for the kids. Obviously, they love going there. But there's tons of things to do. I know. And the restaurant, the amount of good restaurants that you have. We really love the South End area. Just walking around there and going to different restaurants as well. You're never bored, because there's so much to see.
That's true. I think Charlotte's a big city too. I live out in the country, like, so about an hour outside of Charlotte. So Charlotte's a big city to me too. So I understand.
Especially when you're coming from the north versus the south of the county, like, it just, you're going to take an hour.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes. Didn't used to be that way, but it is now. But one of the things you should definitely take the kids to do is, like, the Lazy Five Ranch in Mooresville, where you can, like, drive through with your car, and it's like a small farm. So there's, like, giraffes and zebras that you can just drive.
You can feed them out of your car if you want, the slobber all over your car and stuff. You just have to go through a car wash afterwards, but
yeah.
It's fun.
That does sound fun.
That's one of the things my kids really loved. But yeah, if they're scared of animals, don't do that. So what do you like to do on your days off?
Nothing special. Probably, again, the same boring answer. Go outside, get the energy out of the kids, find new parks. We do love all kinds of parks and playgrounds. Love spending time there. So yeah, those things. Or then sometimes we do quite often also, like, just drop off my wife at the South Park Mall or somewhere like that, and then just I'll go with the kids. so she can have some free time by herself and some shopping therapy, and then we can go with the kids and just, you know, do the dad things with the kids and just go head first everywhere.
We score points in our book. We like any person that's going to drop us off at South Park Mall and let us go shopping.
Yeah, that's her quiet time.
You come 2 days in an away game and she's there with them, because I know
yeah,
that much energy don't allow. So then it's like, you know, I'll give you one afternoon if you're stuck with her for 2 days.
I think it's great that you're a family man. I think that it's awesome that you like to spend time with your kids. So that's good.
Smart man giving her some time to have her brain not ask 12 questions.
Exactly.
We know how that is. Makes us a little crazy.
Right. So what would you say to someone that has a dream of playing soccer professionally? Any sport that they wanted, you know, that they loved.
Yeah, any sport. I would say not to, first of all, take any sort of pressure or like, I have to do it. I have to be good enough. Because, for me, it's like when you're just relaxed, kind of like loving what you do, you're with a happy mind and with a clear mind, you're at your best. So I've always, like, my whole childhood, my whole youth, like, I always loved football. But I never went to, you know, like, train specific things on my own. I just always took my friends and we went to play, or we had shooting competition, or who kicks the ball furthest competition, or who runs fastest with the ball, you know, like we're just competing, like just to have fun. There was never like, you know, putting some cones and dribbling them or like proper training. I don't believe in that thing when you're young. Okay, when you get to like teenage years and older, then you have to start doing those trainings. But like I see in Finland, at least, like there's young kids under 10 years old where they're just doing all kinds of training, and I'm like, you know, I want to see the fire in every kid's eyes, like the love for the game, and you know, just how fun it is to play. So that worked for me, but everyone is different. So don't listen to me; just do whatever makes me happy.
I love going and watching our kids play soccer. My kid plays on Saturday, so she's older, so she plays with the U15 team, but we get to go watch the little kids sometimes when we're going to her games, and it's just I love the innocence in those kids. They're just out there playing, they're just chasing the ball, and they don't care if they score it in the wrong goal. It's just they're just having a good time.
Exactly.
And it's a lot different than going to our games where the parents, I think, put a lot of pressure, me included, on the kids. We're like, you know what to do, you know. So I think I agree with you, we should loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I said to my wife also. My oldest one, he's going to his football trainings in Finland like twice a week, and I love to go there, see, like, because you just have this group of 20 little 5-year-olds running after that one ball, like, you know, like one big ball chasing that one small ball. It's just, like you said, the innocence is there. It just makes me so happy.
We like it when they do it. We don't like it when y'all do it. Okay, so don't do that a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Because when you get older, then it gets really tactical, and then, you know, you have time to be serious with the game also.
Yeah, I'm just
like, mine's still in the stage of my middle one is throwing dirt. So yeah, God bless him. I'm like, please don't harm a child, but you know. So where does your positive, optimistic attitude come from? Because we notice that like all the time when you're playing, you always have a smile. And I mean, sometimes even when you're fouled or a little frustrated, like you really try to be positive.
Kind of goes back to what I was just saying, because I know myself, you know, if I start to clench my fists and like, you know, I have to do better, I know it's just going to go downhill. Like, I also know that there's not one person in this whole world that's harsher towards myself than me, like deep down inside. But in the middle of the game is not the right time to think about those mistakes, because they will happen, like to all of us. And but then for me, it's like after the game, maybe even the next day, or maybe even the next day out of that, like 2 days after the game, when I'm ready myself to get there and you know, learn from those, but not in the middle of the game. Then that's when I need to be in my happy place, because I know that I'm not going to get tired as fast when I'm there. I feel faster, stronger. I feel like no one can get past me, and I can do whatever I want. So that's just something that I've learned throughout my career. And someone said to me, like, how can you how can you smile when you play a game? Like, don't you want to win? And I'm sure I want to win. Like, that's why I'm in that. So I can have my team. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I won't take it seriously. Like, I'll do anything to win that game. But it's just something that works for me.
You can enjoy the game while you're playing it, you know, with everything and all the passion in it. So I don't think that's a problem. We like seeing you smile out there. We know that when you're smiling, that you're doing a lot of good things. So we're enjoying it. You play against a lot of tough opponents. So, you know, Messi, Bernadeschi, I can't say their names right, so if I mess them up. But you play against a bunch of tough players. How do you mentally prepare for those games? Because I know my kid, when she's ready to play a tough team, she's already in her head before we ever play the game. And I'm like, you can't get in your head. So you play these world-renowned players. How do you keep from psyching yourself out?
I'll just try to flip it around. Like, that's another chance for me to get better. That's another chance for me to show that I'm a good player, that I have quality. I'll just kind of take it as a challenge. But then again, it's never about one player against this another player on the field. It's always 11 against 11. So I do know that now when we play Toronto, we know everyone knows who's their best player, and he happened to play on the right. I know for me, that's a really, really big challenge and a good one. I also know that, okay, he might get past me sometimes because he is so good player. But then again, I know that I have my goalkeeper who's helping me. I know I have my teammates on the field who's helping me. So it's never, you know, just you. That's the beauty of playing a team sport. So yeah, it's just a good challenge. You know, you love to challenge yourself. So it's just nice to see how far you can go.
They say to be the best, you have to beat the best, right?
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite saying from a coach or teammate that kind of stays with you and encourages you?
I actually thought about this. I have one thing that stuck with me. We had, when I was in Belgium, we had a Dutch coach, Albert Stevenberg, who's now in the staff of Arsenal with Arteta. And he was really smart, such a smart football mind. And he always said, like, just control the controllable. And that works, like, you know, on the field and even off the field. Like, I shouldn't worry about what my goalkeeper is doing or what their defender is doing. Like, just worry about my things and control the things that you can. I think that's one of them. And then the other one is, like, just know that the most difficult thing about playing football is to keep it simple. Like, doing the simple things can be the most difficult things. And that's something that I try to keep with me, especially on my position. And I'll let the attackers do the flashy stuff and you know, that they can be themselves and just, you know, supporting them. So maybe those two.
What's your favorite home cooked meal?
It kind of goes, you know, in seasons, whatever my wife feels like having, because she's one of them, like, those people that if she gets a good steak or a good tortilla then or tacos or whatever, then she wants to eat that same meal every day until she gets really bored.
I do that.
I would say at the moment it's like a good filet mignon steak that we make at home with some roasted veggies in the oven. Or then I always make the same salmon pasta before the home games, pretty much meal. So that's a simple one that's been with us for, I think, more than 10 years that we've cooked it at home. So also,
that's great. I like a good filet mignon too. No, there's nothing wrong with that. And you say the best answers, by the way. Like, if your wife listens to this, like, you're going to get all the points, all the brownie points and everything, because your answers are, like, right on.
She's just thinking that I'm making fun of her and her seasons because they come and go.
So if you could have any food, what's your can't resist food?
Does it have to be, like, food, or can it just be basically chocolates?
Yeah.
Chocolate's a food, yeah. In our book.
I mean, it's not really a food you should eat. That's for me. I'm like, I love sweets in general, but like, if there's one thing, it's always chocolate.
Y'all have good chocolates in Finland, right? I don't know. Am I wrong?
I do think they are good. But it's kind of dangerous because for, like, the chocolate that I really love, it's one of those that you can eat a lot before you hit the wall. Like, it's not that filling. It's not a good thing.
That's why you're in a good mood. Now we know you're always eating the chocolate. The tea or coffee? I think we know. We can see what you're drinking, but for everybody,
yeah,
at home.
Coffee 100%. That's a little bit too much that I drink daily. I think so. I must take coffee.
And how do you take it?
With a little bit of milk.
No sugar, just milk.
Nah, just milk. And then I feel really weird that here a lot of people put like cream,
mm-hmm.
or even half and half. I think that's really like, well, not for me. It just, it has to be milk.
Straight milk.
Yeah.
And lastly, what would you want to say, like, if there's anything personal to the Charlotte fans?
Keep on being you, because it's just, you know, fantastic to play at home. My favorite, I just said it, I think, before last game to someone where we were on the field and the music started playing and the crowd started jumping. I was like, this is always my favorite part of the week, because it just gets such good vibes for the game, and you can see that everyone, like, what are we, 30 to 35,000, that, you know, we all are there for the same reason, and we all doing the same thing and fighting for the same thing, which is those 3 points. So it's just really a pleasure to play in that stadium, and I haven't experienced nothing like that in any of the away games, so that says a lot.
That's lovely.
We enjoy you a lot. Thank you so much for coming on here, and we're big fans of yours. Every week we do our rafts and favors, just who we, you know, want to favor, and it's like, this week Yere did another good job, Yere did another good job. So we're just in awe of the fact that you do the crosses, you do the penalty, you do anything that they have on there, free kicks, anything, there's Yere doing it. So we appreciate your drive for the team, and we thank you for coming on here and talking to us.
Thank you. This was fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And best of luck on Sunday. And I hope everything goes well with your outing to the monster trucks with your family. So wish them well as well.
Yeah.
We hope you score on Sunday. So, you know, to your former teammate. So that way you can score on them and be like, look, I did it.
I know it's about time now. It's really about time. I don't need those bragging rights.
We're cheering for you. Thank you again.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you.